In 2005, The Worm Turned, Part 2. Welcome to This Present Truth program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is March 26, 2026, Thursday. And my website, thispresenttruth.com. Now, I suppose with the first program and today's program, in 2005, something happened politically that began a new direction in the political world that would eventually bring in the presidency of Barack Hussein Obama. Now, I suppose you want me to explain myself. So for the next 57 minutes, I will try to attempt, hopefully, convey what happened in 2005. Yesterday's program, or the previous program, I talked about comments by Susan Rice, who did work for Barack Obama, and her comments about Donald Trump, corporations supporting Donald Trump, what she calls the elites supporting Donald Trump. Today, I'm going to discuss billionaires for big government from the Democratic Party. And Susan Rice was very, what she was talking about was very coded. You'll have to listen to the March 25th, 2026 program, which was Wednesday, yesterday. And she threatened the corporations supporting Donald Trump, a threat to the, what she calls, the universities, the media, the corporate interests, the elites, the MAGA crowd, the supporters, patriots. But this was all dark sayings, dark sentences by Susan Rice. This was a coded message here, February 22nd, 2025, to a certain segment of the Democratic Party. At the top of the Democratic Party, there were a small group of the wealthiest Democrats. Then you had this would be at the top. Then you had kind of in the heart, in the middle of the Democratic Party, you had Democrats who wanted to be involved with the process. It was a major majority, but they really didn't have funding to do much other than participate. At the bottom, you had a small group that maybe they weren't involved, but they'd been Democrats, you know, forever. And they basically were Democrat. Whatever was on the ballot, they voted Democrat. They maybe for generations, like with my family, both my father and my mother's side of the family, they were Democrats, raised Democrats going back to the time of Adam and Eve. And my father was the first of his family, a large family, brothers and sisters, to ever leave the Democratic Party. As a young man, I really didn't understand, you know, Democrats, Republicans. I didn't vote. You're young. I wasn't involved until later when I realized my dad, one of his favorite subjects in school, in high school, was debate. And I have an uncle who was a city councilman, and other members that were involved deeply with the Democratic Party in Colorado. And my dad would visit with the family and debate them. And eventually, naturally, there wasn't much progress made. He also had a good friend who was a son of one of the big drug stores that had been in business for 30, 35 years. And the owner of the drugstore had a son who was very, very politically involved. He and my dad would sit and have drinks and phone conversations discussing the issues in Colorado, especially the matters of the, this is back in the 80s and 90s, the Hispanic community that was coming up from Mexico, the illegals, that would get the help from the Catholic Church, from the city, from the county, from the state. And eventually, the uncles, who were successful businessmen, eventually started realizing that they worked hard to build their businesses, send their children to college, and you had others coming into the country that were receiving the benefits that they had to pay for, the uncles. These individuals were getting power bills, gas, electricity paid, food, etc. We know the whole story. Well, eventually the friend called my dad one night and said, I really don't want to have any more contact with you. And he'd been drinking. My father said, okay. And by this point, I was starting to understand the conflict with one side of the family, my father's side of the family, and the conflict within the family basically directed at my father because of Democrat programs. And so my father told me that the friend, his name was Fritz, decided he didn't want to be friends anymore. About a month later, my father and I had gone out to breakfast, and he said, well, I got a call from Fritz. He said he misses the debates, but he's very upset because he can never beat me in the debates if you stick to the issues. Now, when you get emotional, well, then it's a different story. You can rant and rave, but you're not staying on target, on point. So, with the Democratic Party, I decided what happened in 2005, I'm going to discuss it. Because there was a change that took place after the election of George W. Bush the second time. There is an alliance called the Democratic Alliance. This is out of an article, humanevents.com, 2008, in January. Billionaires for Big Government. This is an article, Human Events, Powerful Conservative Voices. So Democratic Alliance, the DA had become at that time the leftist blogger, what the leftist blogger Marcos Molitas of Daily KO's fame called for in the 2005 election. He called for a vast left-wing conspiracy to revival. He called the Democrat leftists to revival, to push against the conservative movement, which had in the 90s gained quite a bit of power. Now, with Reagan and Bush, don't think that the Republican controlled during those 12 years, don't think that it was all good. Don't think that Bush second, Jr., taking another 8-year spot was good. No, that it was. It was basically that 20-year period meant that the Democrats did not pass the legislation they wanted to pass, which would have been a more pure, in an evil way, government, one world government objective. Reagan, Bush 1, Bush 2, furthered the globalist agenda, but not as quickly as the Democrats had hoped the agenda would move. Democrats are two things: impatient, vindictive. If you can remember that, they're impatient. They're vindictive. They don't forget, as yesterday's program concerning Susan Rice was explained. Again, yesterday's program or the previous program, part one of, in 2005, the worm turned. So this new left-wing conspiracy, quote, will rely less on traditional Democratic Party machine politics, which typically draws upon fat cats, institutions, the party itself, labor unions, and single-issue advocacy groups, such as the pro-abortion rights groups, National Education Association, other teacher unions. But supposedly, it's officially nonpartisan. So the DA cultivated deep and extensive ties to the Democratic Party establishment. Hillary Clinton had a friend, Kelly Craighead, who runs the Alliance Day-to-Day's operations. It ran those operations. Clinton bragged that she helped create what she called a lot of new progressive infrastructure. So this is what Hillary had stated in a left-wing blogger, to a left-wing blogger, quote, that she had helped to start and support Media Matters for America and the Center for American Progress, CAP, two recipients of DA grants. Again, DA, Democracy Alliance. This is important because they are basically they had been devastated once again to the second election of George Jr. by the Republican Party. That didn't mean so much the conservative party. It just meant they were more Christian. There was a Christian backing. George Sr., George Jr., and even Reagan basically to some degree professed to be religious. The two Georges actually told the Christian community, the foolish, deceived community, that they were Christians, just like Jimmy Carter, that they were members of the evangelical or religious in the sense of the beliefs of the religious, of the evangelical party. The evangelicals were in 1976, with the election of Jimmy Carter, of which I was one, had fully believed that James Earl Kennedy Carter, was a born-again Christian. He was ethical. That doesn't mean he is a Christian. It doesn't mean he was moral. He just had ethics, which ethics work on the natural plane. Morality is on a spiritual plane. The Bible speaks of the morals that are presented through the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Christ. Ethics are a different matter. Jimmy Carter was a good man. Charity work. He was had some humility. Of all the, from Carter to the present, he was probably the most humble. But Jimmy had issues. He had been in psychological, had to have, he was in, not in institutions, but he had psychological problems. And the clinic that had helped him with all the documentation burned to the ground. I think that was true also of Bill Clinton. He also had problems when he was young, had to have some, I think, psychological help, if I remember correctly. I believe that was true. And that facility, for some reason, burned to the ground. So the Alliance's principal architect was a Democratic operative and former Clinton administration official, Rob Stein. Stein promised that the Alliance would become less secretive as it starts to fund a wider array of political programs. And also the Democracy Alliance had engineered to date more than $100 million in contributions from wealthy members. Also, it was donating to these liberal groups sympathetic to the Democratic Party. And it had been a blessing to the Democratic National Committee, Chairman Howard Dean. There were problems. Democrats can't be sure that they are masterminding a grand reversal of Newt Gingrich's 1994 Republican Revolution. So Gingrich was involved, and I watched Newt Gingrich recently. He was very involved. Now, the Democrats knew they had to turn things around. That worm had to be turned around upside down. The worm being the control of the politics in the United States of America from the hands of the Republican leaders, Republican direction, to the Democratic control. So initially, they were still licking the wounds from the election, but now they did realize that this individual, Rob Stein, he was really brilliant in his strategy. They had to turn things, forget about what had happened, and focus on the 2006 election. They weren't looking forward to the 2008 election yet. That was far out. There was no Obama on the horizon. All they knew is Hillary had to be back in somewhere, powerful New York senator, no matter what, regardless of who would run against her. They knew that, and she realized that this would be the next big step for her. This is the city, the origins of her family. Hillary Rodham Rockefeller Clinton, this was the city that her relatives had owned since 1889. So this was her target. There was no Barry Satoro on the horizon yet. They knew that they needed to get the liberal grip on the power structure in the next election, like we're coming up to the 20, 26 midterms right now. Back then, the midterms were going to be important for them. So the Democracy Alliance members, they concluded that the Democratic Party still lacked a coherent message despite the victories that it had in the previous November election. They realized that those midterms, there still wasn't a cohesive message. This is what had happened with the Republican Party. They had a message, a cohesive message that everyone could stand behind. The Democrats were divided. They weren't really single-minded. So they did as they had to fire some people in Washington to allow these openings for other people. And this was a realization that the governor of Kathleen Sebelius, I'm not sure. Oh, she's from Kansas. That's the thought that she had had. She said that, quote, get rid of some people, put other people's in place, but it's not an endorsement of an agenda. But John Podesta, he stated that we still haven't cracked the Uber message. We haven't cracked the Uber message. We still haven't gotten to the people's minds. We haven't got into their minds a picture of what a progressive America would look like. Progressive America. So they had their work cut out ahead of them. That end of a quote, John Podesta. The progressive thought, the progressive vision was the objective in the years to come. The only question is, did it occur? Did it happen? Did their new vision work? If you say no, then you have totally fallen into the trap. It has worked. Look at what's happened with the genders, with the economy, with religion. Everything's got to be progressive. So many of the alliance members in the Democracy Alliance believed that the party's future at that time required ideological rebranding, which was successful. They weren't sure that the word progressive would be the way to present it, but they knew that don't use the word liberal. You don't want to use the word liberal. Progressive might be all right, but they still weren't sure. They stated that a guy by the name of Rob Glasser, he stated that the liberal brand is tarnished. And he heads one of the online multimedia companies, Real Networks. So his plan was to change the political paradigm and treat the word progressive as the new thing that's been nurtured and managed just like any other brand. And then they tested the theory. He teamed up with CAP. What is the CAP, the meaning? Center for American Progress. And he spent $600,000. No. Yeah. On TV ads in the Midwest over a 3-week period. Then he eventually proudly claimed that liberals in the test areas subsequently rechristened themselves as progressive. So they changed their name from liberal to progressives in 3 weeks after he started the advertising. So 40% of the public has no clue of what progressive means. Progressive means liberal. Initially, the Democracy Alliance was a group that in Phoenix, Arizona, that were Democratic Party activists, and they eventually would change their name to Democracy Alliance. And with the change of the name, donors began to give millions of dollars to liberal, it says liberal, or progressive candidates. There were 527 political committees. This is important. I know that it's a lot of detail, but my objective is if you see what changed after George Jr.'s midterm win, you will see why Barack Obama would come to power and how he would begin from the time of the midterms in 2006 to 10 years to the time of Donald Trump. Donald Trump, the present president that understands the world, he has a view of the world that most in the MAGA, patriot, conservative voting bloc in this country don't understand. He understood what had happened. He was considering running for election in 2012 because he knew what had happened when Barry Satoru won the presidency. He knew the United States was doomed. He knows that presently, if he can't turn things around, the United States is doomed. He understands that the American people, the MAGA crowd, the patriots, the conservatives, those even in the Democratic Party that are supporting him, are now beginning to, you might say, the worm is turning back. It's being reversed. This is going to be disaster for this country, excuse me, and the world. The world. Because the liberals, the world is not enough. They want the moon. They want Mars. They want Pluto. They want the galaxy. So Donald Trump, I'm presenting this to you because he understood what happened in 2006. He understood and was, you might say, concerned when in 2008, when Obama was elected. After the election, a month later, there was a small group of the wealthiest Democrats here nationally. They met in San Francisco, and they did a, you might say, reflected on what had happened with Senator John Kerry's failure to win the presidency. This was a shock when Kerry failed to win the presidency. They were dismayed. Now, Jorge Soros, the Progressive Insurance Chairman Peter W. Lewis, and the SNL tycoons Herb and Marianne Sander, they all felt let down. So the Jorge and Peter Lewis, Herb and Marianne Sandler, the SNL tycoons, they all felt done. They were pretty upset. And here is how the worm is going to be given life. There was another group of wealthy Democrat donors that met in Washington, and they felt the same way. Quote, they say that the U.S. didn't enter World War II until Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. And there was a consultant, Erica Payne, she stated, quote, well, the Democratic Party, we just had our Pearl Harbor. In April of 2005, George Soros, Jorge Soros, and other major players met and gathered a large group for a secret planning session. 70 millionaires. This is what these people understood clearly what had just happened. And the top, the cream, the power brokers in the Democratic Party were not going to just roll over. They were going to set things upright. These guys meet in Phoenix, Arizona. Not only 70 millionaires, also billionaires meet in Phoenix, and their objective was how to develop a long-term strategy. Now, I do want to interject this real quick. This is a fairly lengthy article. It's very important. Christ said, or no, it says in the scripture, I'm trying to remember the verses. I don't have time to look it up. Without a vision, the people perish. The Rockefellers in the 1800s, 1870 and beyond, they had a 100-year-plus vision of the world in the future. They wouldn't carry out their objectives, but their children would. The Rothschilds in Europe had a vision for the future of Europe at their time. Also, these large corporations, they made plans 50, 75 years into the future, especially with energy, oil, and other things, industry. Today, as I speak to you, there would come a time in the Bible where the individuals that built the world as we know it, a magnificent world to live in, a world that is can offer the best to moral societies, not ethical societies, moral societies. With morality, you can have great wealth with morality, and that wealth will be used in a proper way to help your fellow man. With ethics, you're not going to have the same effect. Ethically, yeah, you know that, well, I should, but I won't. With morality, it's not, well, I should and I won't. It's with morality, you see a fellow that is down, morally speaking, you're kind of required to help. Not destroy the nations, not to starve the nations, not to bring hardship and any type of cruelty on the nations, but to care for the nations, which is what America did do at one time. Not the case today. Okay. The corporations, the individuals who are giving direction to the New World Order, all of these people are not moral. These people are, I would say, the moralless. And because of that, God will restrict and has restricted the vision that they have. God will not show them the future. So initially, were these people moral? No, they were greedy. And even though they were greedy, there had to be the technology, according to Revelation 13 and other scriptures, there would have to be the technology where man could fly, man could travel, the world would become small, and knowledge would increase. There had to be the computers, and that had to be part of life. It would be these people, the Rockefellers, Fords, the Edison, that would develop the technology that we have today so that I can do a program because of what was invented. And though they were maybe ethical, but they were not necessarily totally moral. This is why now that they have great wealth, it is being used to bring in even more control. Okay. Now, so Soros now is involved. Some of the people involved: Clinton White House aides Mike McCurry, Sidney Blumenthal, PBS talking head Bill Moyers, and these people anteed up millions of dollars. Three-quarters of the meeting, members in the meeting, voted that the alliance should not retain close ties to the Democratic Party. So, this group, this elite group, was being basically counseled to not retain or to be to have close ties to the Democratic Party. A survey showed that most of the members were from 45 to 65 years of age, that three-quarters came from the East or West Coasts. 38% described themselves now as not liberals but progressives, compared to 24% who compared themselves to be liberal, 7% who were just labeled Democrats. Now, 84% of the movement in the conservative movement was a fundamental threat to the American way of life, to their way of life. So they knew 84% of the conservative movement was a threat, as they put it, a threat to the American way of life. So Rob Stein urged the members to pay close attention to conservatives who had spent four decades investing in ideas and institutions with staying power. I'm quoting, "The conservative message machine money matrix, which showed a series of graphs and charts depicting an intricate network of organizations, funders, and activists that comprised what he said was the conservative movement. This is perhaps the most potent, independent, institutionalized apparatus ever assembled in the democracy to promote one belief system." This is what the conservative movement had done. It's over. Because those in MAGA, patriots, conservatives — there are some conservatives that are not patriots. Some patriots that may not be conservative. There are MAGA who are still on board with Donald Trump and his objectives. This group is over because of people like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes, others have basically hit the bell so hard there's a crack. There is no way to repair this crack. It is no kingdom divided against itself can stand. The patriots are a big part of it. They swung the hammer the hardest. The conservatives that really aren't sure, but are they vote conservative, and the MAGA that is sure, they're standing firm with this president. But it's even the patriots who demand, and even Christian patriots who demand, their demands are, "I demand the president do this. I am upset with the president because he didn't do this. I cannot agree with Iran. I cannot." It was Chuck Schumer, 2 hours before the inaugural address, came out of a meeting with top military people. He came out white as a sheet. Nobody knows this. He came out and he made a statement. I hope the president can get the people of this country on board with what has to happen in Iran. Something shook him up. I hope he can get the American people behind him on this conflict in Iran. Almost semi-quote. What does that mean? That means they did have something that they were aware of that was being planned that they had to address. He's the only president that has ever addressed it. So, going back to the article. So Rob Stein admits they've never seen anything. I'm going to read it to you again. The conservative message machine's money matrix, which showed a series of graphs and charts depicting an intricate network of organizations, funders, and activists that is perhaps the most potent, independent, institutionalized apparatus ever assembled in a democracy to promote one belief system, according to Rob Stein. That's in 2005. Look at what happened in 2016. This, what he had presented in 2005 to these individuals in the Democratic Party that were going to be the ones who would fund the future Democratic Party, saw what happened in 2016. 2016 was even more, the vision was even more perfect with Donald Trump. The objective, Donald Trump communicated that objective to the American people more perfectly. The conservative movement was more powerful. And I remember in the conservative movement in the 90s when Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Rockefeller Clinton, was the president. He was the individual that forced the Republican Party to begin to have to take a new direction with a new vision, which occurred, and George Jr. won the second election. Now, these individuals needed a new vision, which they did have, and they knew that they had to have a vision as powerful as the conservative party had had, and they put it into motion. A liberal switched the word to progressive. A progressive. Oh, progressive means moving forward, moving ahead, you know, not staying where you are, not staying, continuing in the same. You go to bat, you have a certain stance. You swing a certain way, you're watching the ball come, but because your stance is incorrect, your swing is incorrect, you're never going to hit the ball. Well, this is what happened to the Democratic Party. They had to change their stance and their swing, and they did it. They get the next 10 years from 2006, 2016. But I say this. Outside of the natural universe, there is a God that has a plan that is in the writings of the prophets of Israel, of Christ himself, of the apostles, and also in the trajectories that are evident in the writings of history going back to Sumeria or going back to ancient Egypt or back to the Garden of Eden. All these together prove that outside of time, there is a intelligence that we would call Yahweh that sees, like it says in Isaiah chapter 46, this individual, this person outside of time, eternal, declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, I will do all my pleasure. He, through the prophets of Israel, through Moses, through King David, through Abraham, he wrote down for future, for the people that would live in the far future, who would bring hardship, misery, death upon the people of the world. And he explained who these people would be. Revelation, Christ said to John the Apostle, write down what I say. Chapter 6, the kings, the rulers of the world, the mighty, these people would bring hardship upon mankind. And with Trump, Donald Trump becoming the president, he is in the prophecy in Revelation chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, but verse 10 specifically. Verse 10 says, it's a riddle. There will be five who are fallen, one who is, number 6, one who is yet to come, number 7, Donald Trump. When number 7 comes, he is in power a short space. Then comes the one after him, number 8, in verse 11, who is of the initial 7. So one of these initial 7 between Carter and Trump has two legal, you might say, times to rule the American people. Donald Trump, because of the crack in the bell, the crack is major. The more you hit the bell, the greater the crack becomes. There is no saving this country. When these people, right now, begin their when these liberals slash progressives take control one more time, and it's going to be the elite, the groups that have been put in the most money, the power people, they will not have any, that once they come into power again, there will be no need for the voting bloc that they have brought into this country. They won't have a need for the women with the purple hair, the rings in their noses, and 2 pounds of tattoo ink on their bodies. They won't need the guys living on the street that are being paid a little bit of money to write an illegal name on a document, which supposedly is a ballot for an initiative. There will be no need for all of the union, the Democrat voters in the unions throughout the country. There'll be no need for these union votes ever again. There'll be no need for anything that the liberal, progressive Democrats could ever offer in an election ever again. It will be done. Once this group at the top of the, I use the term pyramid, once they come back to power, Donald Trump is the only thing right now keeping these people from a world that is unimaginable. It will be a progressive hardship, a progressive evil like the world has never seen. It will affect the people in this country and the people of the world. The sin and the evil that will, like mold in a Petri dish, as it grows, you have more and more billions of spores. Once that lid is off, those spores are gone. And any moist area anywhere in the room, in the environment, is going to cause destruction. These people, when they are loosed on the world, because they now have total, absolute power, there will be absolute, total corruption. This is why I felt I needed to present to you what happened in 2005. I'm not even finished with the article, so I'm going to have to wrap it up. I don't have to wrap it up. I could do a third program. Maybe I should. Now, let's see, you know, if you're a running back, you got to be quick on your feet and think quickly, too. Well, I thank God I'm not a running back, so I don't want to push without thinking about what I feel is important. So then, Stein, going back to the article, they considered themselves as the natural majority party, these wealthy people. So the party had become a top-down organization run by professional politicians, but eventually they made a decision to actually start funding some of the other Democrat, groups. So they started funding these smaller groups. Now, this right here, what I'm going to present to you now in the last few minutes, is I've got to present this to you. Okay. So eventually, they're going to decide how to register, like with your taxes. Is it going to be a 501c3? Is it going to be a tax exempt? And he decides. He filed Democracy Alliance filed a corporate registration in the District of Columbia in January 2005, right before the inauguration. But little money had passed through the Alliance bank accounts because it is a middleman that puts donors together, which causes, they support if they think it's a worthy cause. There were only two grants that showed up when they did this corporate registration. One was the Innovation Fund, and the other, it's a fund that would give small grants to 501c3 groups. The fund took in $50,000 grant in 2006 by the Infrangement Foundation, and a $50,000 grant the year before Stephen F. Silberstein by the Silberstein Foundation. Now, here's what Rob Stein did. This is important. Stein explained the group's legal structure to the Hudson panel. Quote, it is a taxable nonprofit. End of quote. No, quote, think of it as a corporation that does not make a profit, that doesn't aspire to make a profit. We're an association of individuals. We have a board of directors, 13 people elected by partners, and we file corporate papers regularly and comply with all disclosure requirements. So he filed as a taxable nonprofit. He didn't want to go 501c3. Now here's why. So in other words, Democracy Alliance has no interest in asking the IRS to register it as a tax exempt or allow contributions to it to be taxable, tax deductible, where the Democratic Alliance, were they to request a tax exemption as a 501c3 for lobby group or as a 527 political group, it would have to abide by a dizzying array of legal constraints. DA members may want to impose big government bureaucracy and red tape on Americans, but the friends of George Soros are too rich to be bothered. Too rich to be bothered. The DA board is a microcosm of the modern left. Now, that is important because in 2012, Donald Trump was considering to run for president in the midterm of Barry Satoro. It was down to the wire. It was the first part of June in Las Vegas, Nevada. My wife and I were in Vegas. We were part of the AT party. We were part of a tea party that was the only tea party to register exactly like Rob Stein's plan, his model. All the other tea parties were upset when they found out that the group that we were with was not a 501c3, because this gave Barry Satoro, which he did use on every tea party in Vegas and throughout the country, to spy on conservatives / patriots / non-MAGA, because there was no MAGA yet. These people were brilliant, and the worm turned. Hillary Clinton was elected. They took back some of the seats in 2006, and it hindered Jorge Bush Jr. in what he was doing. And then it gave them in 2026, it gave them the next 10 years. And then during the 2006 election and 2028, then the liberal / non-liberal progressive movement took over America, the land of the plumed serpent. So basically, I just felt I needed to present this to this audience because it was extremely important, because now the stage is set for Barry Satoro. Now the stage is set. Barry takes over 2008. America, the curse, the great curse, is already beginning. It began in 2006. The curse on this country, a curse, a judgment, a punishment began. The punishment, like the story of Nineveh, the judgment was lifted for a period of time when Donald Trump became president. Morals, not ethics. It's not about morals. I'm sorry, it's not about ethics. It's about morality. I don't have time, I don't think, to... There was a story in the New Testament where a man was having visitors and he didn't have enough money or enough food to give to the guests. He went next door and asked the guy to help him out. And the guy said, no, I can't right now. It's late and I don't want to be bothered. Ethics would have said you should help, but there's no power in ethics. But eventually, morality, he knew morally speaking, according to Torah, he needed, though he was inconvenienced, he should assist, and he did. Donald Trump has brought the eye of the storm is coming to an end. The safety of the United States of America, what Donald Trump has brought, is coming to an end. They rang the bell too hard. They were unhappy. It's over. So, programs archived on thispresenttruth.com. I'm your host again, Rick Rodriguez. Mailing address, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I'll return again. I might continue one more thread on this. I don't know. But until then, may God open your eyes and give you the vision that you need. Talk to you soon.